Why don't doctors get enough sleep? Is it a toxic training? Hi, this is Dr. Amrita and you're listening to the Health Wealth Bridge podcast by Dr. Amrita. Sleep equity for global health. Do doctors need sleep? Why don't the government and medical education systems the world over explain why diminished capacity because of poor sleep is not a problem for healthcare workers? Why is there no sleep equity for healthcare workers? Why is it okay to ignore the elephant in the room in this case? Why do students and residents everywhere end up thinking it's okay to sacrifice sleep for work or play? Why is there no real talk about sleep equity? On this World Sleep Day, we will discuss the very topic that makes me hope things will be better. In 2024, I wish there would be a worldwide rethink about the need for sleep hygiene to be at the center of good health. Let doctors know that sleep cannot be sacrificed even when you are the healthcare provider. The 2024 World Sleep Day theme is Sleep Equity for Global Health. Sleep is essential to health, but measurable differences in sleep health persist across population across the world, creating additional burdens and reinforcing health inequalities. Hello, isn't this the perfect theme to write about? This is one reason I gave up a well-paying, stable government job in a medical college. For guess what? Being without sleep for 3 days a week got to be too much, and I was on the way to becoming a basket case before each of those days. Sometimes it was 48 hours continuous on call, and that didn't work well with a toddler in tow. But let me start at the very beginning. As a medical student, I was used to long hours of study. But I always liked my 7-8 hours of night sleep. I slept well. Things changed when it was our internship and sleeping became fragmented and scattered. And we were welcomed into the torture of sleepless nights with no day off the next day, even though rules said otherwise. There is a day off theoretically, but you're supposed to finish all pending work and report to your superiors, and by the time you go home, you're so high on adrenaline and stress hormones that falling asleep is next to impossible. But I took naps here and there, keeping it like a relay with a close group of friends. Plus my boyfriend, now husband, was very helpful. And when I was ill or not able to manage at night, he exchanged with me. That was very kind of him, for which I have never been able to repay. But during the PG days, that benefit was absent, because we were now working in two different departments in two different medical colleges and work was hard. But once we got married, things got better somewhat. Also, night duties in my UG and PG involved being with a group of friends, seniors and consultants only a phone call away. There was work and sleeplessness, but not too much stress. Duties could range from 90 hours to 120 hours a week depending on the year of residency. Even so, I managed. I was in between. I was lucky. I was lucky to find a low-pressure consultancy during which I became a mommy. But then things got worse with my posting in a district medical college where the horror of horrors, you don't know it till it reaches you. There was no restroom for doctors, but only for students and nurses. So I had to either sit in the ward or keep visiting from the rental I was staying at. Other than the problem of drunk ambulance drivers, drunk people on the streets and drunk patients in an emergency, the horrifically barking groups of stray dogs kept my emergency duties sleepless in more ways than one. The worst part was that the stress was so bad that it started giving me nightmares 2 days before the duty was scheduled. That was classic PTSD. There was no backup, no team, no support system. Only inappropriate behavior, lawlessness, disregard for truth, turning a blind eye to the problem and just blaming the messenger. After working like this for around 7 years, I gained back my sanity and resigned from the permanent government job for which I had always dreamt, planned and worked. I still have PTSD when I remember those nights. I am now a private practitioner and I choose my work with care. I can be a good doctor and do my best only when I'm also a healthy, well-rested doctor. It is important to never compromise certain things in life. One of those is sleep, both quality and quantity. And the second one is inner peace. You cannot have the second one without a good night's rest. It's okay during training, but not forever. What are the medical conditions that sleep deprivation can cause? Diabetes mellitus and insulin resistance and also hypertension. Obesity, snoring and obstructive sleep apnea, depression and anxiety, higher risk for heart attack and stroke, There's an increased mortality and morbidity for any and all causes. Poor performance on waking, increased accidents and injuries, lower self-reported quality of life, reduced family well-being, and reduced use of healthcare. The link to the studies will be there in the description. The best method to sleep better is to sleep on time and wake up on time according to the circadian rhythm. Late nights, excessive social media and scrolling, too much screen time, heavy meals late at night, too much excitement before bedtime can all cause disturbed sleep. For doctors, though, it will need regulations being implemented by straight-thinking, non-sleep deprived people. What governments can do to ensure sleep equity for doctors and other healthcare workers? Recruitment in adequate numbers so that the emergency services are not affected. Avoid overworking sleep deprived healthcare workers citing emergency. Instead, try number one. Maintain soundproof, hygienic, gender separate, safe on-call restrooms. Ensure adequate time off for sleep cycle to become regular. Sleep debt is serious. Night duties need to be in a safe space to avoid additional stress. Access to clean drinking water, clean healthy food, toilets and safe transportation while at night emergency duties are crucial. I hope you are listening and I hope you get your good night's sleep too. You were listening to Dr. Amrita on the Health Wellbridge podcast.